EMF is one of those conversations that is really difficult to have, and most people still think it's really woo-woo and not important. Today's episode is going to break this down for you, so stay tuned. Welcome back, my friends. My name is Sarah. This is the Sarah Kleiner Wellness YouTube channel. Today, I have Shane here to talk all about non-native EMF in our homes. Now, this can be kind of a scary topic and one of those things that a lot of people just prefer not to talk about or think about because it seems really out of reach to make these changes that could really be impacting our family's health. So Shane and I really try to take this conversation to a very practical level. And here's a little sneak peek. Shane's actually going to be flying to my home in Atlanta, I believe the week that this is released, so that he can help me tie up any loose ends that I've tried to do kind of on my own, mitigating my home environment. So make sure you stay tuned. Shane and I are going to film some videos and create some content around what it actually looks like to implement some of the things that we talk about in this episode. Make sure you're following Shane. All of his information will be down in the show notes for you. And stay tuned for those how-to videos and more information from Shane and myself, especially if this is a topic that interests you in how to make your home more non-native EMF friendly for your family and yourself. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to thank a couple sponsors of the episode. The first one is going to be VivaRays. Now, Shane and I do dive into the importance of circadian rhythms in this episode, and VivaRays is my go-to source. They're circadian glasses, and I love their low EMF headphones as well as their eye masks for helping me keep my rhythms intact. The second sponsor is Upgraded Formulas. You can use my code YOGI12 or YOGI to save on their hair tissue mineral analysis with a consultation. Again, keeping our minerals in balance is very, very important to our overall health. And it's a lot easier to get a test than to guess and just exogenously add minerals that may throw other minerals out of balance. For example, zinc and copper balance one another out. So a lot of people will take zinc to boost their immune system during cold and flu season, unknowingly driving their copper way down and creating other issues in the body. So again, check out that hair tissue mineral analysis. Use my code YOGI12 or YOGI to save. And all of the links for everything I mention are going to be down in the show notes. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode with Shane. I really hope that you enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm really excited about today's guest. Actually, another one of my former guests, Kelly Bento, who you might remember, has said you really need to contact Shane to talk about EMF in the home. And so I finally did. I'm super excited to have Shane here today. So thank you, Shane, for being here.
Hey, this is great. Thank you for the opportunity. This is such an unknown topic, really, even in our circles, sort of mysterious still. So I'm happy to spread the good word whenever I get the chance.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your company and what it is that you do. And then maybe we can talk about some things that people might be missing in their home environment.
Yeah. Well, let's set the table. Acronyms can be a little off-putting, a little hard to grasp. So yes, we're talking about EMF here, which is a type of environmental toxin. But I think it may be easier for people to conceptualize if we just think of it as anytime I say that as radiation. We're talking about radiation. So there's good radiation, there's bad radiation. And in the last 100 years or so, we've actually created a lot of the bad kind. And we've filled up our environments, our cars, our homes, our offices with that bad kind of radiation. So that's really what we're talking about here. It's a form of energy that's not healthy for us. And so I'm what's called a building biologist. And that is someone who essentially makes homes healthier. And that can be through air quality, water quality, mold inspection, and then where I specialize, which is that radiation or EMF. And so I've been doing this since about 2017, and hundreds and hundreds of clients and homes and offices and vehicles and remote consultations on the internet, learning and helping people identify this radiation that's around them And then what steps can they take to bring it down? So it can really be in any form that your home situation comes in. If you're renting, if you own, if you are remodeling, if you're building from the ground up, if you got a new car, if you're car shopping, you know, whatever it might be, it's always a good time to understand what the radiation profile of that space is. Because this is like foundational. The electromagnetic force, right, in physics is one of the four fundamental forces, right up there with gravity. Mm-hmm. So it is foundational, like nutrition, exercise, even like mold, mm-hmm. or air quality. Those are all up here. Foundational is electromagnetic. And yeah. if you're getting that part right, you'll be more resilient to, you know, poor air quality, poor nutrition, having mold, things like that. So it really, really should be of primary focus to people when they're trying to make their homes and lives healthier.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the things that people are, it's just one of those things people think is kind of woo-woo or, we haven't proven that scientifically, but there actually is like a tremendous amount of scientific evidence to show that this does cause issues with the blood-brain barrier, cause issues with the gut, cause issues with, yeah. You like you said, if you do have mold in your home, if you do have poor air quality, if you do have, and this whole thing right now that's like super popular is talking about parasites and viruses and all these things. Mm-hmm. But if you're dealing with a ton of non-native EMF, it's going to make you more susceptible to all of those things because yeah. of the way that it impacts our body on that cellular level and dehydrates yes. us of our cellular water, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have our inherent like the electrical panel in your home, if you will, mm-hmm. we have our inherent electrical system. It's very different from the man-made grid. You know, if you boil it down, we're talking about the health or the redox of your mitochondria. Mm-hmm. And those are like, we are amazing creatures. We are so resilient, so powerful, able to take care of ourselves. But when we introduce all of this interference, you know, that's when we lose the ability to compensate, to be resilient. It's like when you drive under power lines and your radio goes, zzz, you know, it's that interference. You lose that signal, that pure signal that we have inside of us. And yeah, the research on this is nothing new. The research on this has been around since the 30s and 40s. I mean, it came out of Russia. They were looking at this a long, long time ago. NASA got wind of it, and then it was kind of introduced to the Western world. And since then, you know, decades and decades, thousands of studies showing effects across all body systems, from, you know, everyday stuff like what we would call brain fog to, mm-hmm. you know, skin rashes, body aches, pains, seemingly innocuous stuff, you know, preliminary inflammation type states. And then it, if that is chronic, if that continues, like our, what we're presented with in our homes or school or work, you know, if we have that around the clock, that radiation, that inflammation becomes a disease process of one sort or another. So it's nothing new. It's kind of been buried because it's bad for business, right? We won't sell as many cell phones if we tell people what's actually happening here. So that's bad for business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cell phones, Wi-Fi, I mean, all these smart devices, like we just moved into this home a year ago and it was like, thankfully it was built in 2007. So it was before everything got to be smart, you know, hooked up for smart devices, but people have these things on their washer dryers. People have, yeah. I mean, like the average home. Yeah, Alexa and, you know, all
thermostats.
The
thermostats. I was just in a home that every light bulb was Wi-Fi enabled so that you could change the colors.
Oh, no.
Right. But that's like, how many light bulbs do you have in a home? And now you have that many mini Wi-Fi routers all around you all the time.
Wow.
So it's the smart thing mm-hmm. is just rampant. It is out of control. the houses I go into, people just aren't aware. And so there's 15, 20, 25 wireless devices of some kind that we have to deal with, you know, and a lot of them are pretty expensive. So it's not a fun conversation. So, you need to have a little bit of forethought on this. If you're shopping for a new appliance, or just don't believe the marketing, like they make it sound so cool and so convenient, but there's this huge dark side to it that they're not going to tell you about. Mm-mm. And you're going to fill your home with this stuff, and then you're going to have these weird health symptoms that pop up, and you're slowly going to degrade, or your kid's going to get sick. I mean,
That's the thing I think that people are dealing with the most is, and that's been the story of my life for the last 15 years. I have a daughter with non-speaking autism, and that she's like the canary in the coal mine for everything, you know? Yeah. And she has told us, because she can spell to communicate, that she likes to go to my mom's house the best, because my mom doesn't have Wi-Fi. My mom has never put in Wi-Fi in her home. Like, she just doesn't have TVs, cable, any of that stuff. And she's like, "Mom's house is the only house I can go to where the walls don't scream." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's terrifying." That you can feel, you can sense that. And I think our children are being born into this like toxic soup. Not only is the air more toxic and food and plastics and all the stuff that we do with these forever chemicals in our water. Mm-hmm. It's like now these little bodies have to deal with non-native EMF and their brains are not fully myelinated. You know, I didn't have a cell phone until we don't get that till we're like in our 20s. And
this is perfect. I actually was visiting my good friend yesterday who has his first child, 5 month old. I was meeting her for the first time, just the sweetest thing. She woke up from her nap and they brought her downstairs and they did all the things, you know, change the diaper, feed, play, burp. And she got really fussy. And my friend and his wife were actually looking at each other like, "This is really weird. Like, what's going on here?" And my friend, he said, "Well, you know what I did yesterday? I took her outside and she was perfectly fine." Mm-hmm. And they did that again and it worked. And at that point I was like, "There's a Wi-Fi router up on your wall, 6 feet from your kid's play area here, you know, big, super high end one." That's, you know, night and day, getting further away from this stuff can make a big difference for sure.
Yeah. It's insane. I have a 9 month old also. We waited a long time between kids, 'cause we just kept thinking I would get easier, and then we kept getting older and we're like, "Okay, shit, we gotta do this." So my son getting pregnant with him was like, my audience knows this, but this is the first time we've talked, but getting pregnant with him, Dr. Corey Gasvini was helping me, and he's like, "You got to get rid of the non-native EMF or you're not going to get pregnant. It's not going to happen." So he was having me do a bunch of other stuff, but he started kind of like coming down on me about the non-native EMF. And that's when I started actually being interested in it, because I was having fertility issues. And that was like the last thing I did was non-native EMF mitigation. It has a huge impact on fertility. We know this now. Mm-hmm. And then babies now are just bombarded with like this little thing called the owlet that you can put on them to see if they're still, it's like a little strap you can put on their ankle. Oh. And a little mat that they can lay on that you can monitor their breathing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh yeah." And the video monitors that are Wi-Fi that they're just perching on top of the cribs. Diaper. Oh God. I saw that too. I'm like, if you have to have a smart diaper, you probably shouldn't need to have children. Like if you like can't just like check a diaper,
That is bother. Part of your duty as a parent is to attend to this child. Not digitally monitor.
You don't need a notification on your phone.
No, please.
Just check it.
Please help us all out here.
It's terrifying how much people are doing to babies now. And that's, you know, we have a pretty big size house, but I don't have a monitor in his room. Like I listen out for him. We kind of just keep the doors cracked and it's been fine. And I didn't have a monitor for my daughter who's 15, you know, but everyone I know has like video monitors and like they're putting all these things in the baby's room. And I'm like, but that's not going to help them with their development. You know, it's not going to help them with their health in general. It could cause like a major issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We know for sure that bathing someone in this for their whole life, you know, exponentially increases the chance for mutations and cancer. And so it's like that rare chance that your infant might get smothered by a blanket or something, which is pretty easily avoidable. Like, you're trading that for a lifetime of potential cancer development in your kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not worth it. And there are still wired baby monitors out there. You can get those things. Like, that's the thing about, you know, people kind of, they start hearing about radiation and EMF and they get concerned. They think about, oh my God, my house, it's got all this and that and the other thing. But that's the thing, you know, in the last 6 years that I've really honed is the solutions.
Yes.
How do we remediate? How do we switch devices out? How do we manage them differently? You know, et cetera, et cetera. There are very good solutions out there that people can have access to.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about some of that, maybe like low hanging fruit for people who are hearing this and they're like, okay, I know that this is probably affecting me. It's definitely impacting my kids. What can I do?
Yeah. The number one, the biggest glaring issue in, I don't know, 95% of the houses I go into, even for people that are kind of down the EMF rabbit hole and have read up a little bit and know some things, is the wireless. It is all of the smart devices, the cell phones, the Wi-Fi. So thankfully, there is really plug and play older technology out there called Ethernet, which is a hard line connection to the internet. It is faster. It is obviously much safer. I have a detailed article on my blog, everything you need to know about Ethernet, the components you would want to get, how to put it all together, on and on. It's really easy to pull off eliminating that wireless profile in the house and getting as much as possible plugged in to an Ethernet connection. You'll thank me when you see your download and upload speeds. I mean, it's really fast. So that's the big one. That's really the starting point. The really low hanging fruit with wireless is going to be to turn all that shit off at night.
Yeah.
You do not need it on. You do not need it on your nightstand. So get a simple wall timer. There's, you know, little like your car remote control that you can switch stuff on and off easily. Yeah, sorry, I'm not finding the words there, but just there's ways to make it convenient so that you don't really have to think about it, and just shut it all off at night. Just get it out of there. I mean, sleep, obviously, I'm sure your listeners are well versed, but that is the time to get right. So yeah, turn it off, then read my article, and then figure out how you want to move forward with converting your home to Ethernet. That's a number one gold star. Start there. I think the second one is light. You know, artificial light. It just does not match the sun anyway, anyhow. Light bulbs, like even incandescents, which are the best of the worst, I guess you could say. I mean, they still have some of these radiation problems, like flicker.
Yeah, I was going to say flicker can be huge in some of the incandescents.
Yep. So, I mean, they're generally better, but the flicker, when you move into LEDs, you've now got really bad color spectrum. You've got isolated blue and green, which is never seen by itself with the sun. That, you know, the color temperature shifting to red as the day goes on doesn't happen. You've got this, to be energy efficient, you've got this what's called dirty electricity. It's micro surge electrical pollution, essentially injected into your entire home electrical, and then it radiates out on this EMF radiation into the rooms just from light bulbs and other digital things like that. So artificial lighting, you know, like I said, that house I was in a couple weeks ago, you know, now they've got Wi-Fi in some of these light bulbs. So I had never even heard that before.
That's insane. Yeah. It's why?
Really insane. I mean, it's cool. They were like, hey, I can make the room go purple. I was like, okay, but is that really, is that really worth it?
No.
I mean, people need to understand the difference between indoor lighting and outdoor lighting. There's, again, just dozens of solutions around that to changing the kind of light that you see, from blue blocking glasses to, you know, screen filtering software like Iris. Mm-hmm. So many things. Keeping lights low, like the brightness, the lux of the light, you know, as you get past sunset is really important as well. So, I mean, even candles, even just warm red, orange, low wattage bulbs. Protecting your sleep when the sun goes down is huge.
Oh, yeah.
And not overdoing it on artificial stuff during the day is equally problematic.
Agree.
So, you know, take the time and effort to get outside, set reminders to get outside, get that good, healthy lighting. If you can hack it, you know, just get your office outside at some of the time. It makes a huge difference tuning into that gold standard of light, you know, that good radiation, that good EMF of the sun, which is healthy, which is what we've all evolutionarily developed under, you know, what we're tuned to. Like there's good Wi-Fi and bad Wi-Fi,
right?
Like the sun sends us a wireless signal. Like it's a download to our body, right? So it's the right message. It's the right software for your hardware.
Right. And same thing with grounding, with connecting with the earth. It's like these things that we evolved with, that we got here today with, we've taken away, like connection to the earth, touching rocks, trees, getting natural sunlight on our skin. All those things increase cellular hydration. And then we've added artificial lights, Wi-Fi, non-native EMF, all the stuff that dehydrates us on the cellular level. So we used to just kind of live in this electron rich environment. And now we live in an environment that's completely depleting our bodies of electricity constantly.
Yeah. It's the old Jack Cruz meme of, you know, if you put a steak in the microwave,
what
it comes out tasting like shoe leather. And,
right.
You know, it's ironic, but many microwaves use the same frequency as your Wi-Fi router.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. What you're making your home a microwave oven for your tissue and dehydrating it.
Exactly.
So those are two big ones. The wireless piece and the light piece. And I really encourage people to be able to test, get your own meters, right? Mm-hmm. There's for $500-$600, you can actually get really high quality ones. You can get some in the $150-$200 range. They're not as good. It's better than nothing, but you really need to be able to say, okay, before I did this thing, what was the level? I did the thing. Now what's the level? Is it better? Is it worse? I go into a lot of homes where, you know, they're telling me, hey, I just bought this cool EMF thing and it's supposed to do this, this, and this. And you measure it, you find out it either didn't do anything or it made it worse.
Oh,
you know, so it's a pitfall. And a lot of these companies that are selling EMF products, it's a bunch of marketing mumbo jumbo. It's not applicable in every situation, although they make it seem like, hey, you just plug it in and you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know? So you really need to be able to do a little bit of due diligence, have your own meters, be familiar with them. This is another type of training I provide clients. So you gotta be able to test and know, and the environment's always changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you may get your home really good and then they put a cell tower down the street, like a 5G small cell that you don't know about, that's behind a facade on a building or something, or your neighbor upgrades their Wi-Fi and all of a sudden what was good in your home is not. So you need to be able to periodically check, or you go on vacation, you check into an Airbnb. You're like, wow, I feel like crap in here. If you have an RF meter, you can actually walk around and just listening to the sound of it, you can tell when you get closer to that source of Wi-Fi. You know, and then maybe you'd like move the painting on the wall and it's tacked up on the wall there and you can unplug it. You know, it's really empowering to have your own kit that you can do some testing with.
Yeah, one of the houses we usually stay in when we go to like the Destin area is it's got a Wi-Fi router in the bedroom. And I'm like, oh God, no. Like that's one of the first things I do when I get there. I'm like unplugging it. Like, no, this is not happening. Everything is getting unplugged now. Cannot be in the bedroom. And it's, I mean, the crazy thing to me, I think a lot of my listeners are women. I think I have like maybe 70% female listeners. And they have the hardest times convincing their husbands that this stuff is dangerous, that they, you know, a lot of they get a lot of blowback from husbands of like, no, I'm not turning off the Wi-Fi at night. That's stupid. Show me some sort of something solid on this topic, because that's just a bunch of woo-woo crap, you know, and they don't believe it. So what kind of, do you ever run into clients like that where it's one person that's like, all right, I know this is no good, and you have to do some convincing of the other person, and how do you go about that?
Yeah, 100%. It's 90% of the time it's the female of the relationship that is concerned about this. You know, and that really makes sense evolutionarily, you know, with the mothering, being sensitive. It just kind of falls into place, protecting the kids in that way. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, I can speak about it, you know, maybe I can get through a little bit. There's so many good websites and, you know, useful videos out there that are just full of information, Environmental Health Trust, Physicians for Safe Tech. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. What it really comes down to is me, and in some cases I don't have to do this, but it's encouraging the mom to pull the mom card and say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what I want.
It's my house.
I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a happy wife, happy life kind of thing, you know, and it's okay to play that card, especially in this, which we know is a ticking time bomb biologically. It's just hard, you know, for the male mindset. I think the do, we're in the do mode, come help, you know, come what may, I'm going to get these things done. I'm going to do this work. This isn't affecting me. But one of the problems here is that there's really no control group. So it's like the frog in the boiling pot of water. Like we've slowly turned the heat up. And for a lot of people, they've just come to accept like, oh, at the end of the day, my eyes are really fatigued and dry and blurry, or I got to get away from this computer. I'm so tired of work. I've got this ache in my hand from where my Apple watches, but it just seems kind of innocuous to people, especially the men. They're like, I don't have time to deal with this. So there's no control group. Like unless you go camping, like way out in the middle of nowhere, you might not have chance to sort of embrace, oh, something's different. What is it? Oh, there's no electrical grid around me right now.
So
it's really the mom, the wife, the female has got to just put her foot down, say, this is what we're doing. This is important. I am intuitive on this. I have a sense for this. I am feeling this. And you better get in line, buddy.
So absolutely. I hope you're enjoying today's episode with Shane. Again, all of his information is down in the show notes. Just a quick little reminder that you can get my free guide to building your perfect quantum day, as well as my free guide to using blue blockers down in the show notes. Absolutely free guides I've worked really hard to create for my audience so they can start implementing a lot of the things I talk about on this channel completely for free. Now, if you are interested in diving deeper as a listener of the show, you can always save 10% on any of my courses using the code podcast. So make sure you head on down to those show notes again and get the link to my store to see all the courses that I have that really will help you to build strong circadian health and get your life back in balance. Thank you again for listening to today's show. If you have a moment, leave a comment underneath this video, give us a thumbs up, and it will help to get the show out to more people so we can spread the message about how to improve your health. All right, thank you so much. And let's jump back into today's episode. You know, I've told people what they can do is get an Oura ring, and I don't like people wearing those full time. I'm like, you got to keep that thing on airplane mode and don't wear it full time. but I would check your HRV with and without Wi-Fi at night and mm-hmm. see what that looks like, because a lot of people do see a huge difference when they turn the Wi-Fi off and they measure their HRV.
Yep.
Your HRV is super important when it comes to your overall health. You don't want it to be in the toilet, yeah. you know? Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So you can do a 2-week experiment. You know, that's exactly. A really good one. If you're getting some pushback and say, hey, we're going to turn all this wireless stuff off at night. We're going to turn the circuits that go to the bedroom off at night, and we're going to check in 7 days and then 10 days and see what we're noticing. You know,
exactly.
There might be something to this.
Exactly. Now, my friend Kelly, that leads me to a question, because my friend Kelly Bento, who we talked about, I think she might have hired you or someone from your company to come out to her house at some point. And she actually found out that turning off the circuits in certain parts of the house was actually making the current in her children's bedroom worse.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, and I guess that's really the importance of sometimes having somebody to come out and take a look at your home, right?
Yeah. Yes. She had a different company come out. I did, in chatting with her, have a chance to look at the report. But yeah, that's a concept, and that's why meters are really important,
mm-hmm.
Or having professional guidance involved. But yeah, sometimes you turn circuits off and you actually will lose a cancellation effect between different circuits and different wires. And, you know, maybe we don't need to get into the nitty gritty, but just turning circuits off is not a perfect solution until you are able to test and measure,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it's this big, big super highway around your house of all these electrical wires and circuits, and energy goes where it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you close one highway off, you know, the traffic backs up on another highway that happens to be the kid's bedroom. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's generally okay to just pop circuits off and make sure the lights and plugs around a bed go off, and you're probably pretty good. But there are those times where it can get a little more complicated. So if you have some meters, you can say, oh, well, that actually didn't do the trick. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to reach out to Shane, or I'm going to call a consultant around here and see what the heck is going on.
Yeah. And what about people who live in apartments? That's a really tough one. Apartments and condos. I get a lot of people like that either listen to the show or they just message me on Instagram and they're like, okay, I see what you're saying about non-native EMF, but literally mm-hmm. I can't control what the people above me and below me are doing. I'm in this apartment. I don't have the money to make a move and get my own house. Like, what the heck can I do mm-hmm. to protect myself?
Yeah. Well, It is trickier. You have a lot more exposure from a lot of different sides. You're really going to have to advocate for yourself, and either, you know, if you know it's bad,
mm-hmm.
maybe you have some meters, or you can pay a consultant to come out for a short time and be budget friendly. You need to advocate for yourself and cut your lease, or you need to talk with your consultants about, I'm going to put shielding paint up here and, you know, cover it up so that the property managers don't know. You're going to have to take those steps and maybe get a little risky with your lease or whatever, as far as some of the things you do, but ultimately it's worth it for your health and well-being. And there's generally many things that you can still do in an apartment. I mean, you can't get it as probably as good as a standalone home and one that you own, but it's no reason to kind of throw your hands up in frustration. You want to reach out and consult with somebody like me, and we'll talk about, you know, what can be done.
Yeah. I had a man in my private membership group that we were on a Zoom meeting, because I have Zoom meetings every Friday with my private group. And he was just in like in shambles, because he had just moved into an apartment, and his anxiety since he moved into this apartment had been literally through the roof. And he's like, I think from what I'm learning, from what you're telling me, that it's the EMF in this apartment is really, really bad wherever I'm situated. And so he was able to get out of the lease, thankfully, and get into a different apartment that didn't have that high amount of non-native EMF. But he was just like, Sarah, I think that this is actually what you're talking about with non-native EMF, because my anxiety has never been this high before. And I literally feel like I'm going crazy. And I'm like,
yeah,
got to get out of there. And he did. And he felt so much better. And so, yeah, you have to advocate for yourself and kind of know what you're dealing with. I just wonder how many people that are dealing with anxiety, just this low level of chronic anxiety and depression, they don't even know how good they could feel just because of their living environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And the test here is, you know, I sort of jokingly said it earlier, but
go camping
trip, get out in the woods for 4 or 5 days, you know, get that tech away from you. Pick a campsite that's, I have noticed lately a lot of campsites have, you know, people, and they've all got cell boosters on their rigs and all kinds of crap now. So pick a campsite that's maybe not as popular or away from others, but yeah, give yourself a chance to get away from this and see what's going on. It's really a 1-2 knockout combo here with the radiation from, let's say, a phone and the light from the screen and the engineering of these, you know, social media, for example, and the psychological effect. As far as anxiety goes, it's huge. It's a big problem. I was just chatting with a client who decades ago, you know, she's retired now, but she was an educational specialist. Mm-hmm. And she was saying how rare things like ADHD, ADD were back then. Mm-hmm. And now she was kind of lamenting that it's like normalized. Mm-hmm. Like they've just moved the bar up. Like, hey, everybody has this now. So this is the new normal. It's not as big of a deal. You know, we're missing these warning signs, especially in the classroom, which is super concerning.
Yeah.
So yeah, anxiety is a huge one with EMF for sure.
Yeah. Kids, they've changed developmental markers. They've changed a lot of things. I think that the reason for that can be a lot of times we're over-medicating children and doing too many medical interventions. Mm-hmm. From the first day of birth, I think that plays a part, but also not only are we doing that, which is kind of poisoning our kids, but we're also surrounding them with all this non-native EMF, in the womb and pregnancy. I mean, I was wearing like a belly shield. Everyone thought I was crazy because I had this band I was wearing around my belly when I was pregnant. Cause I'm like, no, I don't want to have my cell phone or anything near my belly. And I was avoiding ultrasounds. I did do the anatomy scan at 20 weeks, but because I was 43 when I gave birth, they were wanting to do weekly ultrasounds. And I was like, no, I'll leave the practice. I'll find somebody else. And finally I found a midwife that was willing to not do that. Thankfully I was able to find someone, but yeah, I mean, we're exposing our babies and kids to so many toxins like that. It's just insane.
It really is. Two studies come to mind. I mean, one looked at how often the mother was using a cell phone and it compared birth weight, you know, and birth weight was significantly reduced. The other one I saw more recently was, ADD, ADHD, anxiety in the mother. Is passed on to the kid. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
It's just right through the womb and the kid comes out with these same symptoms. And it's like, where'd that come from? Well, it was you with your tech addiction, you know? It's kind of scary stuff.
It is. It really is. And you mentioned shielding paint. So I did shield both of the kids' rooms when we moved in here. It was interesting dealing with the painters and that whole thing.
Yeah.
and trying to actually get a color to look like the color we wanted
to come through. Yeah.
Yeah. Because my daughter wanted her room to be pink, but it was like after we did the shielding and we tried to do pink, it turned into this like crazy hot pink. It took several coats to get it to like not look insane. Let's talk a little bit about shielding paint. You've got some interesting things on your blog how to do shielding paint, how to not do shielding paint. Like, let's just talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. So that's a great topic. And just like I said, you know, marketing some kind of EMF product is this panacea that you just plug in and everything is
it's
puppy
fine.
Dogs and rainbows. Mm-hmm. They all have, you know, kind of a parameter that they have to work in and are optimized for. And shielding paint is no different. It's conductive. It goes on a wall. So it can become a pathway for this kind of radiation that's flowing out of the wires behind the walls to move around, go where it's not supposed to, get closer to your body, etc. So you need to just kind of test, get a baseline, understand what the sources are. What are you trying to block? Shielding paint can work against wireless, like cell phones, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. It can also catch, if you will, like a bug net, what's called an electric field, which comes from the wires, and it can sort of drain it away from you and your spaces if you ground the shielding paint. So it, in the right setting, it can be very effective at blocking external wireless and or reducing radiation that's coming from the wires and the walls. But if you do that and then you have a bunch of wireless stuff inside that room,
right,
you're on the wrong end of this Faraday cage concept, and you're actually going to increase your exposure. So it's best suited for bedrooms. And yeah, then moving forward, once you have that, you're going to want to get that tech out of there. It's going to do you more harm than good to have a cell phone on your nightstand with shielding paint. So
yeah, that's one of the reasons go ahead. That's why we don't have a wireless baby monitor in the bedroom because there's shielding paint on the wall. I'm like, that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much like other paint. There's good instructions that come with it. So any professional painter can deal with it. There's a basic test you do at the end with a little simple tool called a multimeter. And you just test the resistance about an inch apart in different places. And if it's within the right value, then the paint is applied correctly, thick enough, et cetera. And you cover it up. You cover it up with primer and then your color coat. You can ground it or you can choose not to. It's generally best to ground it. The instructions are provided with the paint on doing that as well. Other than that, you just want to ensure really good coverage, and you're going to have to address windows as well. Mm-hmm. Although modern glass does block some of the wireless, it's not enough. So you're going to need shielding film and or shielding fabric for curtains, things like that. You can also do pretty inexpensive aluminum window mesh on the outside of the window, which isn't as aesthetically pleasing, but is more budget minded and still pretty effective at blocking RF, which is the wireless.
Yeah, we actually painted my daughter's window. Because she's so sensitive to light coming in. She won't sleep unless the room is like basically blacked out. So we painted the windows too with the shielding, which was
That's good. That's good too. Make that sleeping cave.
It's a total cave. And then she's got a Magnetico so she says she's never slept so great in her life as her
good
bedroom. So yeah.
Yeah. I love my Magnetico. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, those can kind of be helpful as well for people, would you say, to help protect from EMF or no?
I think, you know, it's trying to emulate actually sleeping on the earth, being close to that type of static magnetic field from the earth. They're just pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So probably, you know, if you can afford it and you're sleeping on like a second floor or third floor or higher and you're disconnected from the earth. Yeah. I think there's some value there, kind of offsetting any kind of grid radiation that you're getting
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What are some other things that, I mean, smart meters, let's talk about those. Cause that's a question that just came up in my group this morning, is they wanted to install one for a lady that's in my group. And she said, should I do it or should I pay the extra money per month to not have this meter? And then there was a discussion that came underneath that thread of, well, I have one of those meters, what can I do? And I don't think people are even aware of, like, a lot of people have them, and like, what can they even do if they do have them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, smart meters are like a digital form of a utility meter, right? And you actually are going to get them now on your gas, on your water. And so there's two main problems with anything digital like this. Number one is wireless. It sends a wireless signal, very strong, because it has to go, you know, in between and around houses to get back to one of the meters. Is called a node, and it picks up the data from all the other meters and collects it and then sends it to the utility. So anyway, very strong wireless from these meters. That's kind of the one side of the coin. The other with anything digital is going to be production of dirty electricity. And that is connected to your home electrical, of course. So then it's injected into the walls and it radiates out into each room. So people that opt out, they're taking away that wireless piece. You know, they pay $40, $50 more a month plus a one-time change-out fee, depending on the utility. And they get a digital meter still. It's just not wireless. Someone has to come out and read it. So they're still getting that dirty electricity. So, you know, for my money, I think it's probably best to cage your meter.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one, you really can't get an analog meter anymore that has none of these problems.
Yeah.
They're kind of dinosaurs now. So I would save your $40 a month, and, you know, for one time spending $40 on a smart meter cage, you can block most of that RF. And then you're going to have to do some testing, probably best with a consultant, to see how much dirty electricity is this particular meter producing and what would be the right remediation step for that. Yeah.
And there are ways to remediate that, right?
Yep. You will be able to catch a lot of it, but it's really hard to completely eliminate any kind of dirty electricity. There's always going to be some if you're connected to the grid. So it just depends, you know, if you have solar on your house, battery backup, if you have a pool, anything with like a variable speed drive, like a pool pump, like a heat pump, those are all going to be candidates for producing a lot of dirty electricity. And, you know, a mini split, you know, if you go with some of these newer technologies, just understand that it's going to come with some remediation cost. And for bigger appliances like that, if you have a couple of them in the house, you know, plus a bunch of LED bulbs and this and that, you know, you could be looking at a couple $1,000s between the actual remediation products, the filtering products, and the electrician's time to install them. So it comes with a price tag on the back end for remediation. Definitely. For sure.
Yeah. And what about for an average, what should someone look to spend on having like a building biologist come out and kind of just inspect things, take a look at things, give recommendations? What kind of budget should someone look at for that?
Yeah. It does vary across the country, and there's different services offered. You know, depends on the size of the house, but you're probably, depends on if they have to travel to you as well. You know, there's not a ton of us out there.
Yeah.
So probably for basic inspection and a report and a remediation plan, you're somewhere in the $500 to $1,500 range. And, you know, remediations can be a couple hundred dollars to, you know, $10,000 more. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how bad off your home is, what kind of stuff you filled it with, and what it's going to take to get it out. But it's really, you know, this is an investment in your optimal lifespan, optimal health span. And spending some dollars now is not spending thousands and thousands later in life when you're plugged into the centralized medical money wallet biopsy tool.
What kind of health successes have you seen when you've seen people remediate their homes? Have you experienced or just witnessed a lot of people having dramatic changes, or what's some cool stories that people might be interested to hear?
I can, let's see. There was a child, I think they were 7 or 8, and having a lot of kind of outbursts and behavioral issues in school. And so we did an inspection on their house, and we found that the child's bed, because of a radiant floor heater that was kind of around the walls of the room, was, you know, 40 or 50 milligauss magnetic field, which we would like to see in building biology, 0.2 around a bed. And this was 40 to 50.
Wow.
So significant field. They weren't even using the space, the floor heater.
Oh, wow.
The wall heater.
Yeah.
They never turned it on because they had installed the furnace, but the circuit was still on at the electrical panel. And once that was turned off, that field went away. The bed was at what we wanted it to be. And they reported just a little while later that, you know, the kid was doing significantly better in school.
Wow.
So it's magnetic fields are linked to childhood leukemia.
Wow.
So this kid was really, you know, kind of the clock was ticking rapidly towards a really bad outcome. So that's one of those that you feel like, wow, you know, I really made a difference here. Like, this was a big deal. This was a big deal. A lot of people are actually reaching out to me in a proactive state. They're not particularly sensitive or suffering.
Oh, that's good.
So we go in, we do all the things, and, you know, they report back. They're like, wow, I didn't realize that this kind of innocuous symptom I was having, like, oh, this, I had kind of this weird restless leg thing or anxiety, like we talked about, you know, but when I made these changes around my computer workstation, or when I started turning the circuits off at night that you recommended I do, these things went away, and I just sort of come to accept them, you know. Now they're gone, and I feel so much better. I didn't even know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for people, if you do have a lot of anxiety, or your kids have a lot of anxiety or behavior issues, again, this is like that canary in the coal mine. It's a warning sign of other things that could be coming down the pipe. And it might really be something worth investigating if that is happening, you know, rather than going through this, you know, psychologist or psychiatrist and trying the psychiatric medications, like you said, going into that centralized medical model. And that's what we want to talk about here on the show, is just how we help people avoid that or unplug from that. That's really why I started doing all this work, because of my daughter 15 years ago, and it's just kind of evolved from there, you know. But I think, I think this is just one of those things. Like I said, a lot of people are kind of like, oh, I can't see it. But, you know, there's the book, The Invisible Rainbow. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It's light that your body can sense, you know, your pineal gland can sense light that you can't see, right?
So that's a great book, by the way. What I said at the top, like, this is fundamental. This is in the fabric of the universe and what physicists know about it, like this electromagnetic force. It's fundamental. All this other stuff, a psychologist, a nutritionist, you know, even mold or bad quality water. Like, I'm not saying those things aren't important, but if you fix this foundational level, you're going to do so much better with those things.
Exactly.
You might not even need to address them.
Exactly. So, agree. Agree. Well, this has been really awesome. And I'm so excited to share this conversation, but I know people, and I'm going to put all this in the information section, but if somebody is driving, listening, where could they find your blog? I know you've got a YouTube channel, Instagram, where can people find you?
Yeah. So the business name is Optimal Dwelling Spaces. And so if you search on any of the socials, well, I'm not on TikTok yet, but
I'm avoiding that myself.
I know. That's something for young people, right?
I know. I'm too old for that.
So most of the major ones, if you look Optimal Dwelling Spaces, and then my website is optimaldwellingspaces.com. And there's a lot of great content. All my blogs are there, the Ethernet blog I mentioned, the Shielding Paint blog, on and on. So I've also been getting a lot into vehicles and particularly van life.
Van
conversions.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are, it turns out, all cars have EMF as well. A lot of people are spending a ton of money, you know, making these amazing off-grid rigs, and they're just as bad or worse than the home that they're fleeing from in terms of radiation. So if you're just blindly putting these cool battery banks and solar panels and all this stuff under the bed in the van, you're gonna have a rude awakening. Like, you need to be out in front of that a little bit. If we plan it right, if we get the right components, just like my van, like I have one, so I've sort of been living this experimentation and testing and remediation. So it is possible to make them really clean and healthy. So,
yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, and I look forward to sharing this with my audience.
Thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome.